Hello, and welcome to season 6, episode 17, Duelist Unity. I am fucking here. Everything that I am, every side of myself, everything that I've assumed that shouldn't be here. No, not this. And all the things that I've done in response to those things. I'm here. And that's it. And this is what I am. And this is fucking as I am. And I don't need to assume that it should be different. Moment to moment, to moment to moment. As much as I think that there are certain things, no, not that. No, couldn't be that. It's like, that's it too. Like, that's okay too. Just keep fucking doing, being shit, having a ripple no matter what goes on. And the direction of that is just how little of a problem you have with what you are right now.
And all that said, enjoy this episode of Dualistic Unity. We're back from the Virginia Beach retreat, and I am in a rare state of mind, and I find it funny because it's so interesting because the podcast is its own thing, and then again, there's life, and life throws you around. Life doesn't necessarily have the schedule that you would like. And so in the last 24 hours, I have been bent over and fucked by pretty much an airline over and over and over and over again. Like, it's just been ridiculous. And it's so funny because I love it. I love the flying. I love the experience. It was all of the little things in between that I was like, that was unnecessarily selfish or just fucking okay. I'll give you an example. The flight that I originally got on, which was going to connect to another flight, which went back to Canada, was delayed due to mechanical issues. Understandable. Shit happens. But I had a 2-hour layover after that flight anyway. So I was like, yeah, go nuts. An hour and a half comes by. They're still dealing with these mechanical issues. And so I go to the flight attendant and I go, hi. My flight, I shit you not, was 4 gates away. Like, I was getting off at one gate and I was walking 4 gates over to that other flight. I'm like, my flight is going to leave right around the time that we're apparently going to get there. Can someone call ahead and just let them know that I will be running like an asshole to get to them? Without missing a beat, one flight attendant, and then echoed by the other three beside her, went, we can't make calls on this flight. The pilot was standing right beside them. And my response was, he can't make a call on this flight? And it was that genuinely amused because it just sounds fucking absurd, doesn't it? We can't make calls on airplanes. There is no communication with anyone ever. And literally, it's the same airline. Right? So it's not like they're going out of protocol. They have actually said, you know, if you're running late for your flight, let us know. Right? So I went, let them know. And they did nothing. And so I landed just in time to watch the other flight take off. And then what's best is that I get off and they're like, well, just go over to the gate operator there and they'll set you up for another flight because we'll get you home. Cool. All right. Awesome. I go over to the other gate operator. The gate operator has like three people between him and I. And I'm perfectly patient. One person gets helped and moves on. I'm like, fuck, this is moving along quite well. Next person gets up there. The guy looks at the line and says, you know, I can't help everyone. If you go over there behind that wall, there's another line. They'll help you out. Behind the wall was a line of fucking 30 people. He just didn't want to help anyone. He just decided, no, I've done enough of that. This isn't generally my role. And so he just sent everyone over to this giant line. And it's just those moments where you're like, you were just going to sit here with your thumb up your butt, waiting to call the next flight, which isn't coming for quite some time because we're still fucking here. Why can't you be helping people? So that was entertaining. What else is there? There's a lot. I can't, I'm not going to cover it all. But I want everybody to recognize that I am tired. I have not slept much. I have not showered in like 24 hours. I have been moved around and then led in a direction and changed direction. I haven't eaten much. And here's why. Because when I landed in that place, they said, we are going to set you up with a hotel because the next flight that we can get you on is until tomorrow morning. So we're going to get you a hotel and some meal vouchers and a travel voucher, and you're going to be good to go. And then 10 minutes later, all of a sudden, I got a notification that there was a flight that I was apparently supposed to be on. And so I got on the flight to Manitoba. Yay. Now I'm in the Manitoba airport, which is tiny. It's tiny. And when I say tiny, it's basically like just a big room, more or less. There's like two airlines, maybe three there. And then that's it. And there's like one elderly man that just makes sure the baggage is laying down properly. Like he just sits there and he just makes sure it's lying down. I was admiring this guy for a while. Like he looked really happy with his job. Like it just seemed like the best job. He was just sitting there, elderly dude. Baggage had come through. It's lying down fine. No worries. Baggage come through. It's sitting up. Nah. That can't happen. And so he would just leisurely tip that shit over. It was great to see. Point is, when I got to Manitoba, guess what there was not? There was not an agent. There was not an agent there and would not be until 4 o'clock the next morning. So there was no hotel. There was no meal voucher. There was no transportation, which I was told would be there when I got there. So I call them and the support tells me we cannot help you over the phone because we're not willing to call the hotel and set that up ourselves. It has to be a local agent. So why don't we just mail you some money, which you'll get like a week or two and you cover it yourself. And I'd like to remind everybody I'm in Manitoba. It's not like there's a lot of shit around. So I just stayed and I hung out at that airport. And then there was various other things afterwards. The point is that I am fucking wired right now. I'm wired. I have caffeine in me. I just smoked a big fat joint. I've been thinking in an incredible way. And I don't mean thinking about myself, but just watching everything play out in my head since the retreat in Virginia Beach. So all of this was following the Virginia Beach retreat and a couple of days of just hanging out, being myself, you know, just enjoying myself and fucking the unknown. Then I get on a flight and everything just goes to fucking shit. And it's so funny because the only reason it was even the slightest bit annoying was because I wanted to get home to my cat and my daughter. And I had a deadline in my head that was important because I didn't want to be away from them for longer. And so that caused all kinds of shit, which I was aware of and watching. So it's been a fun dance. And that's the thing, is that it's a dance. You can feel all of this stuff. You can feel agitated. You can feel wired. You can feel at peace. You can feel a tad of humor. You know, you can feel insightful. You can even feel frustrated. You can feel all of this shit at the same time and just watch it instead of reacting to it. Not one person I interacted with, and it was getting dicey towards the end because it was getting really weird towards the end. Not one of those people knew I was pissed because I wasn't totally pissed. There was a part of me that was irritated for sure, right? But the rest of me was just, I'm here, you're here, you know? I will say this, though. One of my favorite parts of it was the last connection, because there was many, where I get down there, I'm on time, the plane is there, everything is happening right for the first time in this whole trip, and the gate agent tells me they don't know where their pilot is.
Oh, my goodness gracious, man. Like, because that was the only part that you really told me about beforehand. You just texted me like, oh my god, pilot, you know, frozen plane, blah, blah, blah. And that was like the peak of of the mountain, of the whirlwind, and fucking cheers to you for showing up here and kicking things off in that way. Because
holy a half fucking... hour grace period. I just got home a half hour ago, smoked a joint, and here we are.
And here we fucking are. Oh my gosh. Because like just the amount of things you can get thrown at you as you're going through stuff, as you're going through things, and how much we don't want it to, or we let it stick and continue to stick and continue to stick and continue to stick and just kind of build on that, and like, and just in response to that. And I'm glad we're chatting, because it's yeah, I smoked a lot before this, and I really appreciate that whole story. And I've kind of had this feeling of like my mind being inverted in a lot of ways, and like having faith in myself kind of has a different sort of feel. And like, because it's actually having faith in myself and paying attention moment to moment, and like the amount of things that'll pop up in response to that as I'm going. And so throughout that whole story, I was like following it so closely, and yet I'm so used to almost like holding on to perceptions that it's like I, in a sense, have forgotten, or like never actually known how to pay attention, or I'm assuming there's like a right way to pay attention now, without my mind, in a sense. Like it's so fucking interesting, because all the stuff, you know, comes up as you're going through that, like all the feelings. And I know it's just a pull to be concerned, to care, you know, to have that additional like give a fuck sort of thing, as if there's anyone to talk to, as if there's anyone to interact with. But it was fucking, and like I'm really glad we're talking right now, and I'm like, that whole story is just so, I don't know, like symbolic for me right now of just how much you can go through and still, you know, like almost shed it in a moment and drop it in a second. And then, but it's the continuation, and it's like you're back to, you know, back to, you're just interacting with, you know, like you're talking into your mind and talking to yourself, and there isn't even a question whatsoever. It's like, hey, you know, how are you doing right now? And just the necessity of the story, you know, and like, it's not like everyone has their thing, you know, their story, and ours are drastically different, but it was in the same sort of ends of responses to trying to be in control, in a sense, of knowing something, in a sense. That was really impressive that,
oh man,
it's through all that and fucking showed up for this, dude.
But it is that again, practice, right? Like your story kicks in to a degree. But did you notice what I said earlier? Like the reason I was annoyed is because I had a story I was holding on to. I had my daughter and I had my bear, right? And I was like, ah, oh, I want to get back to my home. Right, all that shit. Do you hear all that? You hear all that identity? You hear all that preference? All that shit? And I'm doing it to myself. But the trade-off is that I care about these things, right, in a very specific, individual way, right? And so, it just comes down to how much do we invest in it, you know? Like throughout the journey, as it keeps going, it gets harder and harder and harder to some degree to not hold on to everything that's happened up until then. You know, like by the time we got to the last plane, I was just like, please, please don't give me a reason to just lose my fucking mind. Like, just because you're dancing with it as best you can, but on the other hand, you're like, I'm tired, I'm hungry. You know, there are things that are physically impacting me even more, right? Yeah, it was fun for that one reason. It's a challenge. The challenge is, how much of you are you taking with you from moment to moment to moment? You know, are you keeping it light? You know, was I the traveler who had been going through shit since the very beginning of that journey, or was I just the traveler who was going through shit right now? Right? Because everything up until where I was kind of irrelevant, right? Because now it was a new problem. Well, I'm here now and I need to go there, as opposed to I was there and I need to come here, right? So it always became just another journey from there, and that's what life is. But we get there and we bring everything with us. Right? And that's the timeline of our life. And that's why it's so dangerous. We get caught in the perception of our lives. And that perception is all we are thinking about when we think about our life. Right? Like, you could take a memory, any memory of yours from when you were young. And you could look at the other person in that situation, or if there was no other person in that situation, you could take a bird's eye view of that situation. Suddenly take in different variables entirely. Suddenly have a different perspective of it entirely. And now all of a sudden your perception of that memory has changed. Right? But up until then, it was your memory. Right? And that's kind of the point, is that we drag all that shit with us. You know, this is what set me free, was the fact that I was dragging all of my self-judgment, my self-loathing, all of my fears, all of my traumatic experiences, all of that. I was dragging all of what that meant about me with me all the time, instead of just using it. Yeah, interesting. I was thinking about this earlier. It's not that my past didn't have a profound impact. It just didn't mean anything about me. See, it's what we go through and what we do with it. None of it means anything about you. If you're going through hardship, if you're suddenly afraid, if all of a sudden you're resistant, all of a sudden you're worried about going into that next thing, or you feel like you're being judged, none of that means anything about you. You know, these are just things that you're thinking. These are just things that you're going through out of all the infinite options of things that you could be going through. And that's kind of the fun part. And if you want to look at humanity, that's what you're seeing, is the fucking grab bag of what we can pick out in our giant fucking omnipotent awareness. Right? And everybody's going in different directions because look how fucking big our mind is. You know, and so that's the point, is that if all of a sudden you end up taking shit seriously, just remember, you're allowed. You don't have to, right? Everything's, what's the expression? Everything is permitted, right? That's very much the point, because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be able to do it. You know, this is where we get the idea of my rights, right? And this is kind of where it got co-opted over time, because now we think rights are given to us by our government. But originally, rights were given to us by the fact that we are willing to fight for them.
Yeah. Because they meant something. Like, it wasn't just given, it was something that mattered to us, you know. Like, that was all of it behind it, was like, this matters, as opposed to this is just what's always been, how it's always been. Like, it means something to you, you know. It means something to me, and that's why I do it. And like and you realize, you almost like, and I feel like I'm settling on maybe a perspective of something, or a point of view, or another story.
There's no choice there.
Yeah.
Welcome to the beauty of time, and why this podcast is so fucking long.
Yeah. Because there's nothing, like, there's nothing to do necessarily, but things make sense when you're paying attention. Like, there's nothing inherent whatsoever at all, and yet there is, you know, like, and I'm, God, it's so, it's fascinating, like the sort of build and just the ups and downs of the narrative and how it goes. And it's like, not that there's necessarily a letting go of it, but there's a recognition of its point, of its perspective, of its necessity, in the sense of just like being a the bag of the experiences that you've had, you know, like every component of the story is a point that you assumed something meant something about you. And so it still seems to have pull just because it led to certain experiences or something. And so when you're like, it's like when there isn't so much sense of control, at least for me, because I know throughout my life I've tried to maintain that via, you know, holding myself back, judging myself. There's almost a feeling like I'm right now, like I am stripped or cut back, or, you know, not using anything to try and feel better about myself. And so I'm left with myself, like just the reality, like a raw fucking baby in a lot of ways, and like relearning how to live almost, which is cool. Cause like, as you go, there's almost like, it's still playing out, you know, but it's playing out as you, and there's certain, you know, feelings you almost got to feel to experience, you know, like as you go. And it's just like a doubt on top of the doubt. I don't know.
You and me both, buddy. See, that's the thing, right? Like, when you're really looking down the pipe of this, this is where the whole predeterminism free will argument comes from. Are you making choices? Are you? Are you just going through experiences? Is your life just one variation of possible experiences that Andrew could have? And that's what you're experiencing, which is where the epiphenomenalism comes in. That you're already doing it, buddy, and you just want to take ownership of it. It's like you're going through all of this shit, you're having all of these thoughts, and you're like, oh God, obviously I've got to go through these. Yeah, and they're just going to go by one way or another. They're going to go by one way or another. It's kind of like walking through a fart in the wind. You know, like, are you going to linger? Are you going to follow it? Oh, fuck. That smelled terrible. And you go after it, right? You just keep walking. Just keep walking. And the same is true for all of these thoughts. Like, these thoughts inform the incredibly complex being that we are. And to take, see, it's so funny because we have this, well, it's, and of necessity, obviously, we're so involved with all of our thoughts that they take up all our fucking attention. Like, we try to write down our thoughts, and that's when we write down our thoughts. But even when you're writing, you still can't get across everything you're feeling. You still can't get across everything you're trying to express. This is why we have expression, art, music, fuck all this shit, trying to get it out. Right? So we never can. Right? We can never get it all out. It's all in there. And so in a day, you go through countless thoughts, most of which you don't remember. Same is true when you dream, right? You go through a bunch of shit that you're just like, I'm tying my shoe, and you just didn't pay attention to it because it didn't scare you, right? It didn't catch your attention. It was just some fucking mundane shit that you do every day, just like what you do in a dream. It's just like you do in life, right? And there's so many thoughts that go by during through all of those experiences that we just don't notice, right? All of it adds to the stream. All of it's a reflection of what we're being at any given point. It's just that we look at the one that just happens to come into our focus rather than the giant mess that's fucking behind us. And I say a mess, but there's order to it. You know, it's just that we get in there and we start fucking it up because we're afraid that, you know, it doesn't have order, because we can't recognize the order because we're biased.
Yeah. And that's where the story really comes into play, you know, we're biased about things and have certain, you know, perspectives on things or desires or even a fucking want for something to go in a certain way or a certain direction.
And I got to go back to this. Is it your want? Or is it just the flow? Right? And this is the point. Like, when you remove the division between you and I, there's just what is. There's just what is in motion. Right? And the only reason that you can go, I'm going through this, is because you're stuck on the idea of you.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, like, I don't even know what to fucking say, like, ever. Like, and I know that, and I know it's just, it's like, it's jumping in, but oh, goodness gracious.
That's it. Welcome to Zen.
Yeah.
See why they won't have the conversation?
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. When you're really in it, you're just doing it. You know, this is, what do I always say at the retreats? Just show up. Just show up and don't run away. If you can, stay as long as possible, right? And that in itself is really all you need to do, but that's true for everything. You know, I was talking to somebody on one of the flights that I was on, and it was so very interesting because there were two gentlemen sitting beside me, and they were talking about very mundane things in very mundane ways, about, you know, politics and real estate and war and women in, you know, a very simplistic way that makes it very obvious why they're both divorced, you know, that kind of thing. And talking to this person, we started connecting about, like, his life. We started talking about the things that he goes through, you know, and he invests in old, like, abandoned houses or derelict houses, and then they renovate them, they fix them up, and they sell them. And he shows up, and he just more or less just goes, well, yeah, okay, this is something that we can do, or it's something that we can't do. Right. And so we were talking about that. I'm like, that right there. Because he was asking what the podcast is about. I'm like, it's about uncertainty. And he's like, oh, okay, explain that. I'm like, well, you just told me about it. This is something that you do all the time in your job. You show up at a place where you don't know whether or not you're gonna be able to use the project or not. You make the decision based on, you know, faith in yourself, your expertise, the things you've learned, and you make it either work or you don't. Right. But that's just you walking into the situation and letting it play out from there. And he's like, yeah, that's a good point. And it's like, we do that shit all the time. Like, we do that all the time, all the time, whether we realize it or not. If you got up from your seat right now and went into the bathroom, you don't know what's going to happen. You can make the assumption of what's going to happen based on what's happened previously, but you don't know. And if you did know, or if you were sure, nothing bad would ever happen in a bathroom, right? If it was always the same, nothing bad would ever happen in a bathroom. And most household accidents happen in the bathroom, right? And it's because we have that assumption and we're not taking ourselves fucking seriously. We're not paying attention, right? It's like, no, it's the same as last time. No, it's the same as last time. It's never the same as last time. You're never the same as last time. Nothing is the same as last time. There's no last time.
And so you just going through it as you finding out and being it and just relaxing and jumping in as you go and being willing to find out and just continue to pay attention to whatever is going on. And maybe I'm just really high right now. I'm not sure, but like I was sitting on like a fucking, I felt like a profound insight before this call. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's a blowback to thinking that I had an insight that I wanted to talk about. And so like that became a fucking story. And then it's like trying to maintain that and then being like, wait, what just happened? Am I losing my mind right now? And like that then being a story and like an intensity of seeing things and as they're going on. Cause again, it's fucking paradox. Like it's a paradox, and there is a component of that paradox that you are always interacting with yourself, no matter what, like always, like no shadow of a doubt whatsoever. But there's also the component of there being a necessity of a perception of division for an experience. And that experience is full as fuck. Like, it's entirely full. It's not this lack of experience, because I almost felt like, oh, my thoughts, you know, went away for a second, or like, you know, seeing that everything I did, no matter what, was always reflective and it's just me and that's all that's happening. And that, you know, the thought with the thoughts went everything else, went the entirety of that fucking spectrum of experience. Like, I was not numb, but like feeling almost, I don't know, euphoric, or just like getting a breath of fucking air or something. And that's not it though. It's a component of it. Almost like, you know, a quick, you know, reminder that like shit's going to go down. Fucked shit is going to go down. Fucked up crazy ass shit. And to experience that, there has to be an experience, like a full experience that has the potential to be taken very, 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 very seriously, a perspective of yourself, be like, to be taken that way. And so the whole, like, the world is very reflective of just how seriously we take ourselves, our thoughts about ourselves, our judgments about, like, our assumed impact on something else or something else's impact on us. But again, it's like, you know, a paradox.
It's funny, you sound a lot like Krishnamurti here, except that what he was trying to describe in the same way and in a different way was that the world we're experiencing is the lack of our own vitality, right? Like, when we're alive, when we're in it and we're experiencing it all, we are very different than when we are worried about what we're going to do tomorrow, what people think about us, how much we have in our bank account, blah, blah, blah. It changes us, right? And it changes us in a way that we experience, well, more uncertainty. And you could say uncertainty, but what we really mean is you're just opening the floodgates and all of your feelings. Because with uncertainty comes frustration and anger and sadness and disappointment and all the shit. It all comes in because you're just here and you don't know what to feel. And so you feel everything. And that's the whole point, is in that you are feeling, you are actually alive. You are actually here. And that's what Krishnamurti was saying, is that, you know, in that state, we would create a very different world, right? If we were to live in that state. But we always go back to the conceptual. We always go back to the structure, the tradition. You know, we always go back to that idea of it rather than the genuine experience of it. And it's because it's intense. It's intense and it's hard to talk about without sounding like a fucking crazy person. But interesting thing is, you're always going to sound like a crazy person to somebody who doesn't want to let go. You know, like the guy sitting beside me on the plane that I mentioned earlier, judging the fuck out of pot smokers while dude downed 2 vodka bottles in like an hour and a half flight. But you know, that smoking shit's bad for you. And I was just like, whoo, all right. You know, and it's just, that's what I mean. Like that person there is, oh, pot smokers are crazy. Like, why? Because you have an idea of sane. You have an idea of sane that just happens to be self-validating, which isn't that what sane is? And if you look at it that way, then you start to really question the entire idea of the DSM, of psychology as a whole, right? Because what are we doing? And that's what's happened. Now, all of a sudden, we're trying to govern people towards like a middle line where they're just numb and doing what they do the rest of the time. Keep thinking, but with less feeling about it. So, you know, you don't notice the consequence of thinking. Whereas if you were to keep feeling all the consequences, you might want to get out of the thinking. You might actually start to think to yourself, fuck, maybe the problem is the shit I'm doing in my head. No, I couldn't be. I couldn't be that, right? And that's it. We dodge around that. And everything around us is like, it's not that. It's not that. Right. And it's just because, man, would we ever have to change if it was that?
It's almost like the closer you get to not taking those thoughts to be the absolute truth at all, it's like the more blowback there is to paying attention to him. You know, like the back and the forth can be really intense as you go through, because it's, again, it's like self-doubt comes up very quickly. Or maybe that's just my sort of thing that arises, or if that's just, you know, what everything's sort of built off of. Because when you're, yes.
I would just like to throw in that doubt is available to all of us. It's all there.
Yeah. And so like the pull of that as you go. But I appreciate the Krishnamurti reference with just the intensity of being here, you know, like just how it's like everything's here. Almost like the extreme of everything. And like you're saying, like we subdue those sorts of things in different ways, just from, you know, believing that there is a right way to act. And then we're constantly, you know, if I assume there's a right way to act that's, say, different than how I'm acting right now, then there's going to be doubt that comes up immediately. And if I think, and like attempting even to like maintain a complete cohesive sort of thought, it's like if I'm talking and then I try and hold on to that as I go, it's interesting how much we're like taught to just follow thoughts, like follow our thoughts and use them as, and how much they become such a massive crutch in a sense for the right way to act. But that not being there, like that not being a thing, like breaking down those, because even right now I have a shitload of assumptions about the right way to, you know, do a podcast, or the right way to say anything, or the right way to act, in like all this entire spectrum that was built throughout, you know, being a sponge to reality. And so like right now, as I'm going, I'm maintaining a perspective that like there's a right way for this to go. And as soon as I feel like I'm not aligned to it, like there's doubt or there's blowback immediately. And yeah, that's, I'm gonna stop.
Why do you think doubt isn't part of aligning with it?
That's a great question.
Sounds,
because that's me again. That's another fucking assumption of
trying to escape something that you don't like.
Of the right way. Like the right way doesn't include self-doubt.
Me not liking this.
Fuck. So it's always just preference. Like it's always preference on top. And that's the trip, like the fall, like as you stumble, like
don't resist your resistance.
That's so good, dude. Holy shit. Like that was this whole fucking episode. That was something that I was smacking up against, like banging up against. As if that's another assumption. Oh my God, that's not an objective thing. This might be the first time I've recognized that doubt isn't an objective thing. Like self-doubt isn't objective. Like maybe that's just a fucking deep
self-doubt and self-judgment go hand in hand, don't they? You're talking about the same thing in a different way. You're looking exactly the same thing in a different way. Suffering. Because that's what self-doubt is. That's what self-judgment is. That's what, you know, that feeling of lack, that feeling like you're not on the right path. That's what we refer to as suffering. And it's what we run from. And it's informing us. It's informing us. And as long as we run from it, we perpetuate it. You know, as long as we run from the lessons that cause our suffering, we just keep doing it. You know, on the small scale and the large.
Yeah, and And every time it's like this assumption, this isn't something that should be happening, gets layered on top of what you're feeling, what you're going through, what anything, like this assumption on top of just any experience or feeling whatsoever doubles down. And like, if I'm not in control, then I'm not in control of any feeling itself. And so then it's like, you know, you start to realize that you're just feeling and having responses to feeling, familiar, habitual responses to feeling itself. And then with that can allow for the assumption that you're the only one feeling. It's like, no, it's just me feeling it. But who's saying that outside of, you know, my response to it? As if I could control that.
Think of it this way. You know, we tend to look at things in a very linear way, or rather we pick one way and we just stick to it. Okay. Which is more your friend? Okay. Joy and happiness, which eventually lead to the fear of losing those things, or suffering, which eventually leads to the experience of joy.
The first one you said that leads to
suffering. Joy leads to suffering in the same way that suffering leads to joy. And yet we're like, I want more joy. Do you know what you're asking for? Do you know what happens when you try to get higher? You inevitably cause the lower. Right? And so we're all resisting the lower, not realizing it gets us higher. We're all chasing the high. Right? Instead of eventually just finding equilibrium, because that's the lack of equilibrium. It's the chasing and the running away.
And just this, and this assumption even that we can avoid, that we can keep getting higher without an eventual downfall or just continuous fear along the way, additional fear along the way that gets added on top, you know, the fear of losing that high or that peak or whatever it may be, as opposed to settling and like settling in to things. Cause like, I feel like going through that sort of narrative and story, it's like as much as you build up, you gotta work through or dig through or drop, like, and the more you build, and it's like everything is built to some degree, but to actually let go of it as truth, it's gotta be worked backwards, like in its entirety, which is, it's like that fucking paradox, man, of the extremes of, you know, the suffering that leads to the peace or the, you know, freedom, and everything that's gone through in that way to fucking let it, like, let go, to actually, you know, even have the experience for a second.
There's a thing happening here, though. It's exciting. You know, it's funny because those who have joined us in the live stream of this are commenting on the same thing. This episode feels different. And it's not because of the retreat. I mean, everything has been leading to this episode. Every episode has led to this episode. Right. But that's because, and it's funny because, again, there's this feeling of almost being high that goes with it. You feel like you're tripping to some degree. And all you're really doing is just letting more and more and more of your fixation on that fiction of yourself go. And in doing that, you're recognizing that, oh, man, there's a flow that's happening. Like, there's existence. Existence is a flow. I'm not just a body running around on a rock. You know, because that's how we think of it. We genuinely just think of ourselves as little meat puppets running around on a rock that's hurtling through space. And this is why I always talk about the subjective. The subjective experience, the fact that you do not experience reality except through your awareness. You know, you were even just aware of your body. All right. So is it there without your awareness? It's a great question. I wanted to go back to something, actually, that you had talked about earlier, and it caught me. You ever notice that we really like to own our thoughts? Do you think that twists how we interpret them? Do you think if we would stop taking ownership of thought would stop being so personal?
Yeah, like entirely. Basically, like, that's what so much of that sucks us in is narrative about, because then it's themes almost. It's symbolism. It's, and like, how seriously you're taking your story is going to dictate how seriously you think the thoughts are the thing and are the focus and the issue or the thing you got to deal with, as opposed to it just being the pull. It's like the pull and I don't know if it's the drag or the pull or the whatever, but again, it's like, hard to talk. It's not hard to talk about. And I'm like, oh, it's too hard to talk about. It's like, we're fucking talking about it right now, sort of. But like, oh my gosh, the back and the forth. And so without so much of a story right now, then the thoughts don't have that same sort of drag that then keep you there. And so it reinforces itself, but keeps you where? It's like, yeah, it keeps me in this fucking idea of where I think I am in my fucking head right now.
Because the alternative is that it's not about your value, that it's not personal, that it has nothing to do with whether or not you're enough. And you can just stop asking and move forward. You know, and that's really it. You know, we're so used to, because again, we grow up in this form, we grow up in this culture, we grow up with a parent figure that we look up to be told that we're doing well. It's a huge leap to let that figure go, to not have someone to look to for approval, for someone to tell you that you're doing okay. It's huge. This is why I say this is the big thing. There is no creator to meet. There's no one to forgive you. There's no one to tell you there's a right way, because there isn't. There just isn't. It's just you. It's just now. And it always will be. You know, and once you can let that parent figure go, once you can recognize that responsibility is the same as play, it's just involves your attention, then it becomes way lighter. But as long as you hold on to that idea of you, that idea of a right way, you will always be looking towards a source consciousness, a higher intelligence, a God, a parent figure, because then the answer's there and you just got to find it, as opposed to just be it in whatever state you're in.
Oh man, it's I'm starting to understand more your perspective, just feeling it kind of go through, like, you know, moves through you, and then it's like you're here again. But it's like, fuck man, I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like, and like, I'm talking to you right now from, you know, just being here, you know, me. But Jesus Christ, it's like, and I know exactly what you're fucking talking about,
man. Yeah, and how I feel. And this is all I've ever tried to communicate to anyone, everyone since I felt it for the first time, and I felt it ever since. It's just you, which means all of that bullshit teeter-totter nonsense going on inside your skull means nothing. Nothing at all. It's just a way to get out of the reality, which only seems scary if you're avoiding being alone. It's the only reason it seems scary. You said it the first time you really got a glimpse, you're like, it feels very alone. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's when you recognize that your perception of alone is not the same as being alone, that you really start to experience the fact that nothing changes. You can be everything and be you, because you always have been. You know, everybody can still be everybody and be you. Nothing changes, except that you let go of the drag. You allow yourself to just be what is. And in doing so, you allow everyone to truly experience themselves through you, because you're not holding back. You're not keeping it from them. It's exactly what they need. And you know, because it's exactly what they're getting out of it. It has nothing to do with you being something. It has everything to do with how people already are using you. See, if they're already using you to self-validate and you're too distracted in your own shit to notice, then you're going to end up playing into that. Whereas if you aren't distracted and you're there, all of a sudden they're going to become very aware of their need to self-validate, because they can hear themselves when you're not reverberating back like an echo. That's why it's so important to just be. That's why all of these world religions and all of these philosophies come back down to just what is. But we use these religions and philosophies to fucking stay in our head. We look at them as like, oh, that's a Buddhist philosophy, and that's a Christian philosophy, and that's a, you know, and it's just like, no, they're all just optional beliefs. Like, they're all just shit that we can look at. You know, the reality is the here and now. The reality is you. You know, just not the you you're thinking of, which is always fun to explain.
Oh, it's a fucking blast, dude. And holy shit. It happens, you know, all that shit happens naturally as you start being yourself. Like, you know, it just, like, things shift and change as you do when you start actually fucking being yourself. Like, I don't even, and again, it's like, don't know what that means. It's curl, because, like, I've always thought it meant something, like, right? And it's so funny how we do that. But holy fuck, like, there's oh god, it is that fucking back and forth of the fucking spectrum of the depths of what has to be let go of, and any fucking because there is, you know, expectation in that. There is expectation. There's, oh god, you see reasons for why people do things, and you start to wonder, you know, love, for example, like what that actually is. Like, what is love other than not wanting someone to change for you? Like, that's kind of it. Like, you recognize yourself in them and the beauty in that. And if they're actually expressing themselves, like, let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. Go do that. And if someone expresses themselves more and you are taking yourself seriously, you're not being yourself, it's always going to be in direct response to that. It's all immediate, direct fucking validation of myself. All the things that I do, all the judgments that I have, all the things that I assume and say, and it's all reflective of my need to not be myself, my desire to hold on to something, to some assumption. And when someone is being themselves, it's like there's an intimidation to it, almost, that if you're not avoiding that you're intimidated a little bit. Little old me is a little bit intimidated right now by someone actually genuinely being themselves and being as authentic as that fucking comes in each and every moment, not adding the additional doubt to anything that they do. If you don't want to see that you're intimidated by that, you're going to judge. You're going to come up with a story. You're going to layer on a certain story, or what you worded something.
I said, or you'll attach, which is another way of trying to see. That's it. This is why all of a sudden openness can become very, very easily confused with attraction, right? Like if you're just being yourself, all of a sudden he's just like, oh, I just want you. It's like, careful now. You're really just trying to put me in a box. Careful now. You're really just trying to carefully put me inside something so you can go back to your perception of yourself. Right? Whereas the alternative would be to just sit here being super fucking vulnerable with me.
Oh, and like you fucking know that too. Like, and I know you know that, and like, oh dude, the amount of like fucking symbolism is, you're just like, oh god damn. Especially for me, like Andrew fucking holding on for dear fucking life. And again, it's like that. I'll never forget when after the first retreat, and like, you know, what I, you know, realizing that I was alone, you're like, you're gonna reel. I've said this a bunch, but you're gonna reel from this. Like, I was like, no, dude, no. And I was feeling so like, oh yeah, so good, but like about myself. And again, it's like, and again, yeah, exactly. It's like yes and no, because I wasn't so much, but then it like there's the blow back, the back and the forth, and it's like pride goeth before the fall. And like, dude, just the symbolic, just fucking, you've said symbolism a lot. I've never really, you know, I've always been like, I don't see that much symbolism. Like, well, now, bitch. But looking back and just being able to fucking laugh about it in a sense, and also feel fucking awful about a lot of the shit in response. But like, I respect the fuck out of you, dude, for like sticking around. I know, like, probably tomorrow I'll be back in fucking shit and doubt, and it comes up with situations, and there I go again with my certainty. I'm sure that I'm gonna like not feel like this in a bit and go through stuff, but like, oh Jesus Christ, dude. Like, and just, I don't know, having faith that I saw something, or there's something, like, because it's in there for everyone. It's everyone's got. It's just like, how tightly are you holding on to that story? And like, the tighter you hold on, the more blowback there is, the more tension you experience in different ways, shapes, and forms, moment to moment, but also, you know, day to day. And the fucking impact, you're always having ripples, and it's like the more tightly you're holding on to yourself, the more impact you have ripples in that way, that's like fucking destructive in a sense. And the less tightly you're holding on to it, it's like the more ripple you have on the other, that's actually sensitive to what's going on, because it's like you're just there, you're just fucking interacting. But ooh, man.
I'm enjoying the fuck out of this conversation, because this is like meat and potatoes to me. This is the conversation I like to have with myself. So this is absolutely great. And I say that strictly for my own benefit, obviously. One thing I found really helpful, and something I've noticed over the quote unquote years, is that I do just fine until I start thinking about myself. Like, as soon as I'm just like, I came up with a good insight there. Oh fuck. Oh no. Like, every time, every single time. And it's just because, you know, you are insight. You know, you're just trying to put in a box again. And that box is what's causing your sense of lack. It's causing you to feel trapped. It's causing you to feel like you're divided, right? So until it's about you, it's just what it is. And as long as it is what it is, then we're one. But as soon as it's about you, you can't see that. Somebody wrote to me on Instagram recently, and, you know, trying to understand what we've been talking about. They're on season 2 of the podcast. And, you know, I'm like, no, we're the same awareness. And they're like, I don't get that. I was like, I understand. And what's hard about that question is that you could try to logically and rationally explain what that means, but that will never work. And the reason is because their understanding of what it is to be one will always be hindered by the resistance being alone. If you're not willing to just be you as everything, you can't understand what it is to be everything. Right? And then that rabbit hole deepens. Because immediately when you're like, I am everything, that idea of I and everything is a limitation. You have to let them both go. Right? And then all of a sudden you see more. And you got to make that not about you. And it's not that you gotta by any means, right? Because you can make it about you, but you watch. After a while, you're like, yeah, okay, I see that shit coming. Like, after a while, it just becomes self-correcting, right? Sometimes to the point where you're willing to do stupid shit. You're like, I haven't had a good smack upside the face from reality recently. Maybe I should humble myself a bit. You know, like that, like the night that we got together to move me. And the three of us just went out and got fucking tanked. Like, we got super drunk that night, and then we moved the next day. And it's not like I didn't know while we were getting drunk that this was going to suck the next day. But that's a fucking story, isn't it? Wasn't that an epic story? That was a fucking epic day. And it was hard as fuck to go through, right? Like, there were some unpleasant parts, but that also fueled the humor, didn't it? And the empathy with one another. We were all in the same boat. And other people who talked to us had been there and empathized with us. And yet somehow we think that suffering is the problem here instead of our war on it, right? And we perpetuate it in our need for more comfort and more luxuries, don't we? We hoard, we keep it away from others, trying to avoid suffering. And then we actually create an imbalance where there would be a natural education that would inform our balance otherwise.
It's like a massive, massive buffer, like, that reinforces how I think about myself. Like, it, I can look around and like confirm that I'm doing well, but I need that stuff to think about myself positively. And like, that's the same fucking string of stuff. Like, any way that you're looking at yourself is a component of that prison, but we have to almost try and create a reality around ourselves in order to validate certain things and avoid certain things about reality in order to avoid certain things, like to avoid perceptions of ourselves or things we don't want to look at, and just to maintain like this separation from suffering. And so even if it's just moment to moment psychological suffering or just fucking suffering of judgment, it's like, we'll suffer in our, like, behind ourselves in order to avoid the suffering in the world, you know, outside of myself. And it just cuts us from everything and reinforces that division, that idea that I'm ever talking to anything but myself, but I'm the one doing it. But
That's why I really enjoy what we do here, man, because all we're doing, and I know from my side, that's really all I can speak for. I can assume whatever I like about your side, all right? But at the end of the day, it's really on you. But for me, this podcast is all about me. For me, this podcast is all about everything that I've ever learned. I mean, that's all I can ever share with anything, with anyone, right? So I'm being as authentically myself as possible, because to me, that's the best way that I can communicate everything that I've learned in my life, everything I've learned in my existence. And so this is just a way to practice that, right? And it's not even a way to practice that. It's a way to enjoy it. Fucking straight up. It's not like I'm trying to practice being myself. It seems fucking stupid, doesn't it? Right? Why would I practice being myself? It kind of comes naturally. I'm a natural at being myself. In fact, it's just letting yourself. It's really all it is. That's why it feels like play when you do it long enough. Right? This is why the retreats are so much fucking fun. That's why they're amazing. Like there's vulnerability, there's doubt, there's a little bit of like self-judgment, there's all that shit. But if you just stay, it dawns on you more and more and more that everyone is going through it and nobody is judging themselves or you, which allows it to just be the process that it is. All of a sudden, somebody will bring something up that is incredibly vulnerable. Somebody will bring something up that meant something to them that they didn't want to talk to other people about because they're willing to be vulnerable. And in that process, all of a sudden, look how much we learn. Look how much we come together. Look how much happens. And to me, that's incredible because I can't hang out with everyone in the world. You know, I wish I could. I really do. I can't spend that time with each and every character that comes into existence to learn all of their mysteries and watch them find themselves. Because, man, wouldn't that be fucking beautiful, right? But yet I am. That's exactly what existence is. And each and every retreat, each and every person I meet, each and every life that I manage to touch, each and every person who even gets a glimpse of what we're saying right now, brings that fraction of me with them into each and every conversation they have. And so it's me having it, you know, and that forces me to challenge once again my idea of me. So the conversation just continues to get more fun.
And so it really is just interacting with more stories, unique perspectives, and there's like, oh my God, every interaction is deep as fuck. It's like there is so much there, like in each and every person and experience, and like, you know, my narrative versus your narrative versus their narrative. And it's like, it's incredible. It's like just the fullness of every situation, like the assumption that one is, and again, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm saying that as I'm sitting here, you know, on doing this, which, you know, admittedly at one point I'd be petrified of doing this. I would have there was no way I'd be able to relax to this degree at all. And so I discount, you know, that process of even doing something like this. Cause as I'm talking, I'm like just doing something, I'm hanging out here doing this, but you know, it's insane. And I forgot what the point of that was, like feeling comfortable. Maybe like I feel, you know, like comfortable on this right now because it's familiar. It's something I've done. I can relax on it. And there isn't, you know, it doesn't. Okay.
I don't think that's it at all. Okay. I don't think that's why. And it's funny because we can, there is a certain comfort that comes with familiarity, but with that comes the assumption that it's going to be the same every time. And there's the danger, right? And you know very well, we don't fucking do that here on the podcast. We have no idea what we're going to talk about from one day to another. I don't think it's the familiarity, because I've seen you exercise the same thing when we went to Vegas. I've seen you exercise the same thing at retreats, you know, or just hanging out, right? It's really just jumping in, letting it play out, right? It's just funny because it's after the fact. It's almost like when you're done letting it play out and you're left sitting with yourself that you're like, fuck, how did I do? But throughout it, you were just fine. Right. And that's it. Like, it's not the familiarity. You actually do have a certain degree of, I guess, self-knowledge. Right. And not in the conceptual sense, but self-knowledge in like you can feel yourself in what you do now. It's not like you're just going through the motions. Like, you have presence in your existence. Right. Like, to me, my whole fucking universe revolves around me. Like, when people come and talk to me, they are talking to everything in me. They're talking to the entirety of what I consider to be reality. Right. And so I'm always very honest and very direct. And I'm always very authentic for that reason, because otherwise I'm fucking with myself. Right. I'm fucking with myself for no good reason other than the fact that I want to be liked. Right. And how much is that the case? How much do we actually hinder people from learning from us because we're trying to manipulate them into liking us? Right. And it may not seem like that, but it is. If you're catering, if you're watching what you're saying, if you're doing that thing where you're trying to get something out of it, or you're trying to make them see you a certain way, you are not being yourself. You know, and why? Why? Is it because you're afraid to let them learn from you? Are you afraid to let all your lessons get into someone else? Are they that important to you and you alone? Are you afraid to let us all learn from what you've done and how much you've become?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. You're like speaking to the depth of my fucking soul right now. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like not wanting to admit certain things that you've been through or gone through, or hide certain things that you've been through or gone through. And it's like, because there's a component that forgets all of that. Because it's like a coping mechanism for it that forgets things that have happened throughout our life. And that's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I feel like you said early on that like you can remember, you know, your birth in a lot of ways. And like, I felt like I'm working back through remembering, like straight up in Denver at that retreat, like I was smacked in the face with something that is, you know, the perspective of it hasn't gone away since it like awakened one of the deeper components of my hell that I hadn't remembered. I discount how much I didn't remember that at all. That was when I was like, it was the memory, at least from that point, was when I was 15 and I just left the Catholic middle school into freshman year, really did some good fucking damage to that damage. I say it's like, yeah, it's a part of it. It's all part of it, into a school that wasn't so rigid, wasn't so structured. And I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know how, because I had been told there wasn't that assumption. It was like I was more free. And my response, man, it's like I was more free from that sort of prison and I didn't know what to do with it. So I just went back and created my own. And then from there, built on top of that, but never really looked at it again. It was like, it was from that point that then, you know, it was built on top of and suppressed and forgotten and like locked away. It was locked away in a corner because I just didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to believe that I wanted to see myself differently. I wanted to see myself as something else than that kid who was the quiet kid who felt like he never had anything to say or share or add. And I built a whole fucking story for 13 years from there on top of it as I went. And it was, you know, feeling intelligent. It was learning things so I had something to say. It wasn't just being myself. It was so that I had something to share or something.
And you always did. And you always did. You were just afraid to let it be what you had to say. It had to be somebody else's words. It had to be something more than what you had to say. It had to be something more instead of it just being what you had to say. And you always had something to say. It's that feeling that it's not enough. Right? And it always was for all of us.
Oh man, it always was. And it was straight up, dude. It was like that. It was like self-doubt. Maybe it was like, you know, look, we all have our stories and all I know is fucking mine. But until I learn and gain context and interact with other people, because mine isn't the forefront anymore. It's not about that. It's not about me. It's not about me becoming something in response. But until you look at those things and are willing to fucking see them, that's in there too. You know, that side of you is there, and that's okay. It's okay that it's there. It's not something that has to be shifted or changed or built on top of. It's like, you're good. Like, that's okay too. It's like, fucking chill the fuck out, dude. That's all right. But it was this, like, no, this is wrong. This isn't okay. And it was, who knows? It could have been fucking a moment that I assumed, and then it built on top and on top and on top. And, like, you know, different roots we have for different components of our story. And, like, there's certain things that build off of different components of that story. And, you know, from when you're a kid, and there's components of that, and they're all interacting. It's not like that's the absolute root. It's stemmed from, you know, self-judgment and, you know, things like that, and thinking that there is a right and a wrong, even assuming that there's a right and a wrong way to act, way to be. Then it's all that shit then is piled on top. The assumption that, like, you know, oh, is this right? Is this wrong? And as soon as something's wrong and you're doing it, it's like, fuck.
Welcome to generational trauma. Isn't it fun? And that's what it is. I mean, Christianity, the government, the economy, all of this shit is the result of our ongoing self-judgment and fucking, you know, self-loathing. Like, it's the result of us not being enough. It's the result of us always, you know, feeding that illusion that we need to be more, that we need to have more, that I need to get and to own more, you know, than you especially, or anyone else, right? So all of this comes from a collective trauma, and we're raised in it. We're born into it. We're born into it. And this is why I liked that video that you sent me the other day, where they were saying that, you know, generational trauma continues until it finds somebody in the path that's willing to feel it and let it process. That's what this is. You know, it's the sins of the father passed to the son. Right? It's what the expression comes from, right? Is that they teach us their conditioning. But their conditioning isn't really conditioning. It's a willing self-conditioning, right, that we pass responsibility for. And that is, in fact, part of our own self-conditioning, is that irresponsibility. And in order to feel it and learn from it, you have to be responsible and take that shit right on the chin. And just be willing to feel it and let it process. And out the other side of it comes empathy and understanding. And it's not that you don't still feel shit. It's that you recognize where it comes from. You recognize its beauty as well as its consequence, right? It's not about avoiding being yourself. It's about doing so with awareness.
And just being willing to, and, like, oh God, like the depths of the just fluctuation through myself, you know, through me as through reality, like all the continuation, because it's like those before, you know, sins of the father passed the son. It's like it's built upon, and it is that response, it's that responsibility, the continued irresponsibility, because everyone has the opportunity, like moment to moment, every day, even moment to moment, like straight up moment to moment, you know, like not assuming something that's happening that you're doing or should be different or anything, not assuming something about what's going on or how you're doing or how you're fucking acting or any of it. And so they do continue, and we don't have, it's the process of growing up, is we don't have the same, we're sponges, you know, as kids. We don't have the capacity to even recognize the same sort of responsibility. Like there isn't. It's like the capacity for responsibility goes up as we grow up, but it also, things that hit now, there's more responsibility for, as opposed to back then, you know, as a kid, it's just taking in everything that someone else wasn't willing to be responsible for. And so then, like, the weight gets heavier each and every time. Each and every time it's passed, generation to generation to generation to generation. And if that is response is control to that, then, like, fucking reality is going to be an expression of that. And, like, it's all just response to that continued irresponsibility. Like, no, this isn't all me. This isn't all me. It's someone else, fucking God, fucking just Jesus fucking Christ. Like any, like, and so everything is reflective of fucking irresponsibility and just an unwillingness to really, I don't even know, fucking pay attention, like actually pay attention.
What I like about it is the fact that if you were to, did you ever do a genealogy tree in school? Family tree?
Yeah, like to a degree.
Okay. So if you were to do a family tree of your family, and then of course all the other families that are interacting or intermingled with your family, because it's not just a single tree, is it? They're all fucking connected at the roots, aren't they? And so you look at all this generational trauma that goes from one generation to the next and next and next, becoming, you know, cousins and uncles and grandparents down the road and so on and so forth. And if you just look at the tree, you're just like, oh, wow, that's just one chain of person to person to person to person. But that's also how synapses form. Very much like that, like a structure over time, right? And what we're doing is we are changing the synapses. This is synaptic pruning, right? All of a sudden, we're taking everything that led to this, and we're going, yeah, but there's something else to do with that, right? And what I love about that is that that is the process of evolution. Right? Necessity breeds change. It's unpleasant to think about, but it's true. And there is a possibility, just like perhaps self-doubt and suffering have a point, that everything that's happening right now in terms of our impending economic collapse, government corruption, war, the environment, we can go on, isn't entirely possible that this is necessary, that it's happening and it is an opportunity for us to change. And that might not sound like necessary, like it's meant to be, but what do I always say? How do you know if it's meant to be? It's happening. So regardless of whether you feel it's meant to be, it's here. And we have an opportunity to learn, not just from large problems, but the little ones that cause them, which is the problem in yourself, the problem in myself, which is the belief that I have a problem. That's the problem with problems, isn't it? It's a fucking problem immediately, as opposed to just being what is, the next thing to deal with in the stream of my existence.
Oh my God. And just having a problem with reality right now, moment to moment. It's like, God damn. And that's such a big component of then a response to the problem, to the assumed problem. And if there aren't any problems, like ever moment to moment, then the response to them doesn't have to, like, there isn't this sense of need to act differently or soothe that perspective or do something, even just do something in response to it. It's just what it is. It's what it is. Like, moment to moment to moment to moment. It's not a problem. It's what is. Pay attention to it. But it's not a problem. It's something to respond to when you're paying attention, not assuming it's a problem, because then there can be like a lack of responsibility. It's like, is it my problem? Is it your problem? Is it how, why is the, what's the reason for the problem? Oh, it's not, that's not my problem. Like, there's no problem. It's just things are happening. It is what it is. Look at it. And like actually take it in. The problem's kind of a distraction.
Oh, that's, but it drives the economy. Here's a quick question for you. Why do you think most people drink Coke? The flavor or the marketing?
I mean, I guess the marketing?
More or less, right? Yeah. And it's because everybody drinks Coke. People identify as Coke drinkers, right? It's actually become an identity. And so if you don't feel like you fit in, if you're going through school and everybody's drinking Coke, all of a sudden you're drinking Coke without ever looking at the reason for why you're drinking Coke. And that's how large fucking multinational mega billion corporations exist. is the fact that we just do all this unconscious shit all the time to satisfy some need that we're not enough, to own the next thing that makes us more, to help us fit in without ever actually thinking to myself, do I need this fucking thing? Or would that money go far better into something that I actually want? Like something I could learn from, something that could fulfill me. And so funny, isn't it, that all of a sudden people would be like, something I could learn from? What the fuck is that? It's like, aha, see? And that's what indicates so much of what drives us, right? It's just that petty satisfaction. It's just that need to feel a little bit fucking better just to escape the fucking pain, right? And all of that comes down to thinking about ourselves. All of that comes down to that satisfaction, that need to be more, that need to measure yourself, that need to fucking think. And the economy runs on that shit more than anything else. More than anything else. This is why brand name labels are a thing. Despite, the quality of the brand name going down over time, people still buy and pay fuck tons for it. Why? It's not for the clothing. It's for the brand name. It's not for the clothing. It's for the problem it solves. The problem that never really existed.
Oh my God. And that's the response. That's self-love going around. Like the conceptual self-love, loving myself. It's like, why do you feel like you need to do that if not for some other assumption that's necessitating the response to that? And just the unwillingness to look at why, like, be actually honest with yourself as to why you're doing something, why you're acting in a certain way or doing a certain thing, anything, religion, growing up religious. It's like 99% of the time, it's because your parents were religious. Like that's the main sort of factor in a lot of ways. You're born into it. But you're born into everything in a sense, in terms of like sins of the father passed down to the son. And it's just the unwillingness to look at maybe why it's happening and where it's coming from. Because the response is like, we don't want to look at identity itself. We don't want to look at that then necessitating responses and certain feelings and then wanting to fit into this or that or this or that or be liked or be normal or be, fit into society. Like our identity, our perceived identities are, get closer and closer the more like society becomes some idea or what's happening in the world and my opinion of what's happening in the world or what's going on or how things are going. But everything, it's like, again, that fucking symbolism and a company being able to get that big, any massive thing is all symbolic and all fucking reflective of just, or in response to even, because like Amazon, in response to, a desire for convenience, like there's so many layers to certain things. It's not like using Amazon itself. Like I'm an Amazon user. Isn't the drive like being a Coke user is necessarily, but it's a response to so much, like so much of how we live, just how we live in response to all the other things and stuff.
I will argue with you on the identity side of Amazon. Absolutely. And nice. I have the benefit of this because I'm old. There are people who absolutely pride themselves in being on, the cutting edge of technology. People who are like, what, you don't buy off Amazon? It's kind of like somebody who doesn't have you don't have a smartphone? Where's that judgment come from? Where's that thought come from? Other than you should fit in, other than that's how humanity lives now. This is the level that we're at now. It's like judging old people for not using computers, for fuck's sakes.
Oh, it really is a lot of that. Like, it's the thing to do. As much as there's the use case, it's the thing to do. And that's like how society, societal progression. Just like, what's the thing to do now? What are the cutting edge like fucking tech leaders doing now? It's like, oh, that's now the thing to do. And then it's the progression and the reflection. And so like, getting a smartphone in 2007, 2008, in terms of iPhone and that type, Android, as we see now, like that wasn't that was more cutting edge. And so there was very few. And then there was a shift to it being just the thing to do, the thing to have. And we see, you know, that process of like early adoption to late adoption to, you know, full the chasm there. And then it's the tumble. And it's the same sort of thing with the dancing YouTube video, you know, the guy, you know, how to start a movement. One guy's out there alone for a while. And then someone else is like, oh, here's something. Oh yeah, there we go. And then there's a shift and the shift and the shift. And then all of a sudden it's weirder to not be dancing. It's weirder to not hear the music, but seeing, you know, in this case, just fucking being yourself, because there's no made up reason not to, because you're being honest with how that goes in every capacity, not your perceived fucking highest self idea that you hold on to, that you keep trying to like think you should be when you're being yourself. It's fucking just being yourself and just showing up and just with all your doubts and with all your shit, with all the depths of, you know, your insecurities and all of that. It's just showing up as you are and like being cool with that. Cause I still am like, well, being myself means this. It means that I do these things when I'm being myself. Like, God damn it, dude. Like the constant, like it couldn't possibly be doing this right now. Like, oh, it's always, always that. And so, yeah, it's like, you know, that fucking dancing video is hitting good right now in terms of just, yeah, this is the societal sort of assumptions about
all changing tide, man, the changing tide. And fuck, can you ever feel it, eh? Ah, it's beautiful. And it's so funny because, you know, you spend so long just kind of getting familiar with the tides, as it were, where all of a sudden you actually can feel the little eddy that's changing. You can feel how it is starting to move in a different direction. It's cool. But for everybody who's not paying attention, there's nothing happening at all. Nothing at all. And what's funny is, and I know right now, somebody is listening to this going, yeah, dualistic unity is going to change the world. No, dualistic unity is actually just a reflection of the world changing. It's not the cause. Nothing's the cause. We're all just in the flow. We're all just going through it. And the pendulum swings. And that's all there is to it. Just be yourself. Be the pendulum amongst other pendulums on a giant fucking pendulum forever. And just let it happen. I'll meet you in the middle.
Just let it fucking happen. Just let it play out as it shifts and swings. And man, it already is. You already are. Just fucking let it. And this has been a lot of fun, and the epiphenomenalism shit's hitting right now and hitting hard. And I'm like, all right, that's a good time to wrap it up. And we'll continue chatting after this for a second, for sure. But I appreciate everyone who was in the chats as we were going. And you look like
that's actually a delightful, that's a delightful idea. Do you have a little bit of time after this?
Yes. Yeah.
You do. How about we jump onto Discord, hang out in the lounge for a bit?
Sure. Yes.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode here, and we'll be doing more of this Discord stuff in the near future. But everyone, thank you for joining us. This has been an amazing episode. I know there was some conversation in the comment section. Is this a Raw? Is this a season 6 episode? What is happening? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to wait until it comes out.
Bye, everyone.